Record Collections and Recollections. Out of the Box with Mia Hull on FBI Radio.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to FBI Radio 94.5. I'm Mia Hull and this is Out of the Box. Every Thursday from 12 to 1, I sit down with one person to roll through the stories and songs that have defined their life. I'm coming to you from FBI Radio's studio in Eora and my guest is joining me remotely from Naam today. Each of us are coming to you from unceded Aboriginal land, so I want to take this moment to pay my respects to Gadigal and Kulin elders past, present and emerging, and extend that respect to any First Nations person listening right now. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land. Today's guest actually isn't completely new to Out of the Box. In an episode last year, she was a really important character in someone else's story, and we've played her music on the show before too. Her name is Romy Vega, and she's the frontwoman of Melbourne post-punk outfit RVG. Today we're taking a walk through Romy's life and stopping to look at the music she's made and the music she loves and the music that has soundtracked some of the big moments. Thank you so much for jumping on the show today, Romy.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We're obviously going to chat about music a lot throughout this episode, so I'm going to start off a little bit existential and ask you when music first became important to you.
When did music first come important to me? I guess I was kind of always surrounded by music, I suppose. My parents just played the Beatles a lot. I guess that's kind of my first introduction to music. It's just kind of always a bit present.
Do you think there's still Beatles influence in RVG now?
Well, there's Beatles influence in everything. But yeah, I guess so. I still listen to the Beatles occasionally.
And how did your interest in music first start to take shape when you were little?
I don't know. I just kind of gravitated towards it. I had an interest in learning how to play like keyboard, and then it eventually I moved on to playing the guitar, and I just kind of, ever since then, I've just kind of been interested in it.
And were you always a vocalist?
Well, yeah, I was always mostly concerned with my own stuff. I've tried to play other instruments in other bands, but I get bored.
Was there ever, you know, a point in your life where you started to look at music making as something that you could do for a living?
Sort of. I mean, I didn't expect to be doing what I'm doing now. I mean, when you're younger, you're like, well, I'm just going to play music and that's fine. And I kind of grew out of that at some stage, and I decided to try and, like, you know, go to uni and try and think about a proper career. But then I sort of fell back into, I kind of had not expected to be doing anything like this at the moment, that's for sure.
When you say going to uni to pursue a proper career, what does that look like?
I don't know. I wanted to get a law degree, and my idea was to try and get a law degree, but then I kind of dropped out of that. I might go back and do it eventually, but I like the idea of having a law degree.
And you finished school quite young, Romy. Is there a reason for that?
I guess I was quite distracted by a lot of things in my life, and I went and did a TAFE course in sound production to try and figure out what I wanted to do. I ended up eventually doing year 12 when I was a bit older, but I just was, you know, when you're a teenager, you just get a bit lost, and sometimes it's like those things don't really matter at that moment.
I guess when you hear stories like that and about people, you know, finishing school early, it's because they've got this huge drive to, you know, pursue their career in music or to pursue their creative passion. And I find it so interesting that you almost skimmed over it as something that you kind of just fell back into. What does it mean to fall back into it, and how did that take shape for you?
I just sort of found my people, I suppose. I found, I started playing music in Melbourne, which I hadn't done up until that point. And it just sort of has been growing ever since then. Like, I'd sort of, you know, you're like, well, maybe I should just be like a normal person and get a proper job. And then suddenly things just go differently, you know.
Are you talking about RVG, or were there projects before?
there was a lot of there was a couple of kind of weird bands I played in that I wouldn't say anybody particularly liked. But you know, I persisted. Oh. I mean, I'm used to, you know, one nice thing about RVG is that I learned a lot of things from some of the other bands I played in, and I learned kind of what I was gonna do and what I wasn't gonna do, which was important.
And what are some of the things that you learned?
Less is more, I think. It's one of the kind of rules I think we had as a band initially, is that we'd sort of only play the kind of gigs that we thought were special. And we, you know, it was different to kind of just being like, well, I'll go and play 3 nights a week at, like, in the inner north of Melbourne and play to like 3 empty rooms. It was kind of like, instead, it's just space it out, have things be special and considered from the get-go.
Do you think less is more in, you know, the construction of your sound as well, or just less is more in the amount of shows that you're playing?
Yeah, there's a kind of minimal thing that I like. It's, you know, some people are like, oh, it's, you know, it's simple kind of garage music, but that's kind of what I like, and that's, I like the simplicity of that, and it reflects all the other things I like about music.
Let's jump into a song, Romy. You've chosen a track by Kraftwerk to play on the show today. Why did you pick this one, and why are you laughing?
I was thinking about this song, and I was thinking about how odd it is that I came to it, because so my grandfather used to have a stall in a market in Adelaide, and he used to kind of go to garage sales and buy stuff, and then he'd fix up stuff and he'd resell it, and he'd just collect a bunch of like weird stuff occasionally, which was kind of, you know, awesome when you're a kid, because weird stuff is really cool. And he picked up this, if you look at the Kraftwerk Trans Europe Express album, they sort of looks really old fashioned. They look like kind of 40s. I guess that the idea that they're supposed to look like mannequins, but they kind of look, it looks like an old, like Bing Crosby or like Fred Astaire record or something, you know. And, you know, he must have bought it and thinking it would be something he liked, and then just heard Kraftwerk, which, you know, someone who, you know, from that generation was probably not going to be into Kraftwerk. But he gave me that record, and that was my first record, and kind of, yeah, that's just kind of how I came to a lot of stuff.
A little bit of Beatles and Kraftwerk influence throughout RVG today.
yeah.
And we'll jump into that song right now. It's called Europe Endless. You are listening to Out of the Box with me, Mia Hull, and RVG's Romy Vega. You are listening to FBI Radio 94.5 DAB, or if you're streaming via the website or on the podcast, that song was by Kraftwerk. It was called Europe Endless, and it was chosen by another musician, RVG's Romy Vega, who joins me on the show today. And I want to talk about RVG, Romy. Can you maybe walk me through how the band came to be?
I just stopped playing in another band that I was in. It was kind of time for that band to stop. And I was sort of like, I wasn't really into the idea of playing in a band. I was kind of burnt out, I think, mostly. One of those bands that you would just constantly play empty rooms, and you're like, well, maybe this is not a thing that I should be doing. But I ended up making a tape of a few songs, and a friend of mine put it out on a future label he was going to make, and he was kind of like, well, you should have a launch at this place called The Bank, which is where I lived and was also a studio space. We used to have gigs there. It was kind of like how I know a lot of people. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll do this launch for this thing, thinking it'd be a one-off. But I didn't have a band, and I was thinking, well, I don't really want to play the acoustic guitar and sing and play the acoustic guitar, because that would just be very boring. And so I just asked a few people if they wanted to play in this kind of one-off band thing, and they said yes. And we played our first gig, and then we decided to play some more because it felt really good. I don't know, it was kind of like I'd never had a reaction to the kind of music that I make before then like that. And so I felt like maybe I was onto something special. It kind of just like recharged my batteries in a way that I didn't know I needed, maybe.
Something that's really striking about RVG is the honesty and the lyricism and kind of the rawness and catharsis in the way that you sing. And you did just mention that you didn't feel super comfortable doing that alone or, you know, with acoustic guitar. What does it feel like to make that kind of music that is so honest with a band?
It's interesting because I don't think that, like, I think I got more vulnerable as we played more, which was a kind of weird thing, I think. It's like every time we would play, I would slowly dip into something else. And I still kind of do, like, I'm still kind of like, it's kind of like when I'm playing, it's sort of like looking down a long funnel, and you're sort of like, every time you get a bit closer to like something. But, you know, it's difficult. And I am like, I am the kind of person that, like, when I expose too much of myself, I immediately kind of feel a bit embarrassed, and I have to kind of let go of all those kind of feelings that come with kind of putting yourself in a, you know, kind of a uncomfortable position.
In researching this isn't a word that I would use, but I noticed that the word brutal came up all the time in the way that people talk about RVG, whether that be through the sound, you know, oscillating between like this brutality and this warmth. And they talk about how the lyrics can sometimes be quite brutal or sometimes be quite humorous. I mean, what do you say to being described that way?
It is kind of odd, you know. It's like, you know, it's not like like, I sometimes I would like to be in like a regular band that just makes people happy, like a normal band, but at the same time, like, yeah, I really appreciate that people have such a strong emotion. I really appreciate it's a weird situation. I think I'd like people to be prepared for it. I don't want to just show up and scare someone or make them feel things they weren't prepared to feel. And I'm always trying to find a balance between stuff like that.
Can you tell me more about that? I'm so interested in, like, and it's something that we will get into later in the show about kind of the atmosphere that you do create, because it is so unique to RVG. But were you going into this expecting to be the kind of band that, as you described, is a little bit irregular and fosters these interesting reactions from your audience? Was that the plan?
No, it wasn't the plan at all. I mean, we just wanted to sound like Echo and the Bunnymen. Like, that's like, we weren't really prepared. I it was like an unusual side effect of the band. Like, I feel like, and something that it took us a long time to kind of like, we didn't realize for a long time, I think, like, the kind of music we were making. Yeah, it's sort of a happy byproduct of everything.
Was there a moment that you realized that that was what you were doing? You said that it took you a bit of time. Was there a specific instance where you were like, oh, heck, this is our thing now?
I guess, like, the year and a half into it, it was kind of like when people really started to come to our gigs and stuff. I think, when we, especially, like, it just kind of grew. I think especially when we played Meredith in 2017, that was the kind of climax of it, I think, when I was like, oh, okay, this is... that's when I kind of realised what it was, maybe.
Romy, I'm so happy to hear you bring up Meredith, because we've actually had a guest on the show who was in the crowd that day, and it just sounds like it was such a beautiful and poignant time for everyone there, including yourself. That guest's name was Rosie Piper, and I'd love for you to hear what it sounded like for her.
I went to Meredith. It would have been the Meredith following the Golden Plains that I came out to people out for the first time. So it was in the same year. So I wasn't out publicly yet, but I was out to all of them. And there's a big kind of tradition at like Golden Plains and Meredith of like, if a band is killing it, you just put your shoe in the air. And it's always like a bit of like, who's going to get the biggest shoeing? And it was comfortably RVG during this song. And I very much just like shed happy tears because I was like, oh, this is a trans woman going really well. And then I think because of that, I always felt like a sort of big connection to this song. So that day when I did come out, when I came home and sat on my balcony and like read all everyone's nice messages, I sat there and like put this album on and yeah, did some more happy crying.
That's such a nice story.
I forgot to say the nicest thing about that, where I was sitting there and I was like, oh, I've never felt happier than this.
On Out of the Box, this is RVG. The song's called That's All. Stay tuned, you're listening to FBI.
Oh, that's so nice. It makes me feel good now. I think a few years ago I was just like, oh, why is everybody crying? You know, but now I'm like, it really makes me feel like I feel good. It's a two-way street, you know. It's a powerful thing. It's like it's communicating to some degree, and it's important to me.
Yeah, for sure. Beautiful. And we have kind of got into it a little bit, but the next part of the show, I want to dig into the messaging of RVG. But first, you've chosen a song called Guts. What?
Oh, yeah.
What does this song mean to you, and why did you bring it to Out of the Box today?
Oh, I love this song. I guess when RVG first started, my bandmate showed me... I felt like, you know, 2016, it's like I felt like, you know, there wasn't like... the band felt unusual because we felt quite unique to everything. And there was a couple of bands that like around that I really like resonated with. And one of them was Spike Fuck, my band member put me onto. And I just, this song's just incredibly special because it kind of felt like someone was on the same page as me. It felt like having a contemporary of whatever it was I was doing. And I met Spike and I ended up playing in a live band for a bit. And it was very exciting. Like when this EP came out, I played like the launch for it. And I just have like a lot of love for this EP. And it's not something that I consistently play like and show people, because it's a beautiful thing.
We're getting the special treatment from Romy Vega today on FBI Radio 94.5. The song is called Guts. It's by Spike Fuck, and you are listening to Out of the Box. It was Spike Fuck on FBI Radio 94.5. The song was called Guts. You are listening to Out of the Box. The chooser of that song was Romy Vega, my guest, and I am Mia Hull. And just before it, we talked about Romy Vega's band, RVG, and how it came to be and the kind of music that it makes. And Romy, one thing that I really like about RVG is the way that you're not always super explicit in your messaging. It feels almost like the messaging comes across through the way that you perform or the way that you create an atmosphere, and not really so much in the things that you say. Do you know what I mean when I say that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's what I'm aiming for, I think, especially with my lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you arrive at that?
I guess I just find like songwriting kind of a very interesting thing, and I spent a lot of time writing stuff and then looking back on it and going like, well, it's very preachy, and you know, and I had a lot of like soul searching, kind of like, who am I to who am I to say this shit, you know? And kind of, it was more interesting to kind of find the things that I believed in and to kind of put them in a kind of situation or give them to a, like, a character and get like, express things in that way. It was, it seemed to be more of an interesting thing, and it seemed to be a bit more of a valuable thing, I think, because, I mean, I get very turned off when I listen to a song and someone's just telling me what I should be doing. I'm like, no. Oh, and also, it's part of being the vulnerability thing of it as well. It's kind of like, you know, no one, I mean, those kind of, that kind of way of doing things, it's like, oh, the narrator is perfect. And I suppose I've always tried to, especially with the first record, it's very much like, no, you know, everybody is flawed, you know, including myself, and trying to get that across as much as I can.
I wonder if that lack of explicit messaging and, you know, in creating that kind of atmosphere, people can almost attach their own meaning and their own ideas to it as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what you want, kind of thing. You want the songs to be able to breathe and move. I mean, like, some of the songs, it's like they are quite flexible in the sense that, like, I don't get sick of singing them, because they will, if they don't apply to something, when I'm singing them, it feels like something that happened 3 years ago, and then sometimes it's just relevant to now. It's kind of, you can breathe a different kind of energy into the song sometimes.
When you talked about being preachy before or questioning who you are to say those things, what are those things that you were talking about, and what do you think you were preaching about at the time?
I don't know. They're vague. they're vague back of the mind things a lot of the time. You know, it's how I feel about societal things. You know, how I feel. It's mostly how we relate to each other, I suppose, and kind of like whatever weird kind of morality I have and have developed. It's all kind of tied to that, I suppose.
When we were doing the research for this episode, you mentioned that sometimes people won't listen to or even like RVG the first go, and you talked about how it's a bit of a slow burn for people to understand.
Yeah.
It's such a funny thing for someone to say about their own music, but why do you think that that's the case?
I've always felt that kind of, I feel like a lot of it is from the live performance, and that kind of, the live performance complements the album stuff, and it kind of breathes life into it, which is, you know, what I like. I think those two work together really well, but I do have really weird interactions which I think is just, you know, it just grows on people in a weird way. I remember we were in Germany somewhere, and this guy came up to one of us and was kind of like, you know, I saw you on YouTube, I listened to your stuff, and I thought it was terrible. But then I saw you here and it was amazing, and like my suggestions just delete all everything off YouTube. But you know, I think it's you have weird interactions like that, and it's part of being vulnerable, I think. It's like some people they want to be vulnerable, and some people really respond to it, and some people it's just, you know, you've got to crack them a bit, maybe.
Romy, RVG is very much a Melbourne band. I think as much as people describe RVG as honest and they describe it as brutal, they always talk about Melbourne. How do you think Melbourne has impacted your sound and the way that you make music?
It's just a kind of like amazing place to play music. Like I grew up in Adelaide, and like when I was growing up, there was like very little that was exciting. Maybe, you know, there's lots of metal bands and stuff, and I just, the stuff I didn't respond to. And when I moved over to Melbourne, I was just like, oh my god, wow, like I can go see all these local bands that are really good. I can go see like people who like whose music I grew up with as a teenager, who are still playing. It's just like incredible. And like everywhere else in the world, it's like, it's, it's not as cool as it is here. Like, it's just in the terms of playing live music and going out and having this community.
It's a shame that you're on a Sydney station right now. That's
sorry. No, but Sydney's really good as well. I will say that. Like, I've always had pleasant times in Sydney.
Thank you. This is Out of the Box on FBI Radio 94.5. We are broadcasting from an inferior Australian city and we're about to jump into a song. It's called The March Violets. Romy, why did you pick this to play?
I just really like goth music. And I very much grew up with, like, 80s goth. It was the thing that, like, I started listening to, which very much felt like mine and my escape from things. And I spent a long time trying to replicate this kind of vibe, which I think RVG is a combination of getting, like, the balance right, which, like, making something that has this energy without making it sound like a too much of a goth band. It just excites me, this kind of music, I think.
It's The March Violets. The song is called Undertow. Undertow. It was The March Violets on FBI Radio 94.5. This is Out of the Box, and that song was chosen by Romy Vega, my guest on the show today. Romy, I had a big scroll on your Instagram before doing this interview, and it's pretty clear that pre-2020 you were playing overseas a lot. What's the draw to playing internationally?
I just really like the traveling and the experiences of it, I suppose. Like, I never thought I would ever have gone overseas to do anything. And then when we got the opportunity to, it was kind of very rewarding. And it's like, I'd only been at like one place other than Australia before we started this band. And I ended up seeing, like, you know, so much of the world, and I get to meet people, and I meet people from, like, Australia a lot. people who grew up in the same suburb as me, like, you know, being, like, in Ireland or something, you know, it's exciting.
What's your international audience look like compared to your audience back here in Australia?
It's a lot smaller. We have a kind of spread out bubble of people in a lot of places, which is nice. It always surprises me, like, when we go overseas and, like, when we have played our, like, own shows overseas, it always surprises me that people come, you know?
You shouldn't be surprised.
I'm surprised. I'm still surprised. I'm always grateful to just, like, I'm always grateful not to play to an empty room, whether it's, like, in Melbourne or, I don't know, Berlin or something, you know?
So I guess with that in mind, and I'm going to ask you the really obvious question here, but what did COVID mean for you?
Yeah, it sucked. We had a lot of plans. We had like we're building a pretty big schedule to go overseas in 2020, and that just kind of fell apart, which is, you know, which was, it sucked. But at the same time, I kind of needed a little break, honestly, and I was a bit scared about immediately going back to touring, and lockdown did give me a chance to kind of get my mental health together and sort of get my confidence back.
Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you rejuvenated, refreshed, ready to go.
Yeah.
Romy, I want to jump to July 2018. You've just finished playing a string of shows in France and the UK. What did your life look like right then?
Yeah, it was pretty full on. I mean, I had, we'd been over three times in that kind of the first half of that year. Went to America for a bit, and then we went to Europe for a bit, and then we kind of, in July, we had released Quality on a label overseas, and so we did a little bit of touring for that, but, you know, it was pretty difficult, and I had a really good time, but at the same time, like, I was definitely feeling it. And so me and my partner, we went to Berlin at the end of it very briefly and met my friend Jeff. And we went to Nico's grave in this tiny little cemetery outside of Berlin, like in the kind of suburb somewhere. And we sat there for a bit and ate some watermelon and, yeah. And Jeff read from this book of short stories about a guy who likes to wrap Roy Orbison in cling film. And it was just a very pleasant day. I don't know. It was probably my favorite day. It's still one of my favorite days of the last few years, because it's just, it felt like, it felt very nice. I don't know how to describe it.
No, and I mean, when you tell that story, I can understand why, come the lockdown, you were probably looking forward to just having a sit as well. Let's go to that moment with a song, Romy. What would you like to play?
This is Nico, and this is 6040, and it's off a live album, Live in Japan, and it was definitely my most listened to record of that year, and I still listen to it very regularly.
While we listen to it now, we can imagine Romy Vega sitting at Nico's grave eating a watermelon. The song is called 6040, and you're hearing it right here on FBI Radio 94.5.
You can hear the hellbells praying. Any moves have to be found. At certain times you will hear them pound. You can hear the hellbells praying. It is for granted here they're saying.
That was a live rendition of 6040 by Nico, and you heard it here on Out of the Box on FBI Radio 94.5. I'm Mia Hull. I'm joined by RVG's Romy Vega, the chooser of that song. And Romy, we were just talking about touring and, you know, traveling and what touring has meant to you and kind of easing back into it post-COVID. And you do have a tour coming up.
Yes.
Where are you playing?
We're playing at the Sydney Opera House, which is very exciting for Vivid. And we are also doing a small run of shows in the Wollongong area. I don't know the exact dates, but I'm very...
Do you want me to tell you the dates?
Yes, please.
So you'll be at the Servo Food Truck Bar in Port Kembla on May 26th, and then the Kiama Hotel on May 27th, and then Club Thrall in Thrall on May 28th. So a very jam-packed couple of days at the end of May. What can we look forward to?
We have got a few new songs. We've got a pretty good set of songs now. We're all kind of like excited to leave Victoria for the first time in 2.5 years, and I just think it's going to be a really good energy. Got some great bands. Like, it's an exciting thing. It's one of those times where you're like, I feel like it's going to be a very special kind of run of shows, you know.
Yeah, those venues are so small and intimate as well. It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, and that's what I really like as well. It's really like, it's exciting to, I mean, I'm excited for it, all of it.
We're both just like smiling so hard right now. And I will put the details to that one up in the programs page on fbiradio.com. Romy, what does the future hold for you?
I don't know. I'm more of the same, but better, I think. I'm just excited to keep doing what I'm doing and figuring out new ways to do it, maybe.
Perfect. Well, we'll keep an eye out for that. And in the meantime, we can catch more of you at those shows. I'll put all the details to those up in the programs page on fbiradio.com. Romy, you've chosen a song called Dead Skunk to finish the show with today. Why did you pick this?
I really like it. I discovered this song like a few years ago, and like in a year where I had a lot of stuff going on, and it just feels like it's the kind of stuff I like, you know. It's the kind of just ridiculous lyrics, kind of, you know, ridiculous lyrics, a bit kind of like, you know, macabre or something, but like a really shiny melody, a really sweet song with awful lyrics. And it's the kind of music that I love, and it's the kind of music that kind of picks me up and like makes me like happy, I suppose, in a weird way.
I'm glad this track makes you happy, Romy, because we are about to play it right now on FBI Radio 94.5. It's by Luden Wainwright III. It's called Dead Skunk. And the chooser, of course, Romy Vega from RVG, my guest on Out of the Box today. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in. If you did want to listen back, you can head to the programs page on fbiradio.com, where you can listen back to this episode in full, browse the full list of songs that Romy brought to the show, or check out the details to RVG's upcoming South Coast tour or their show at the Sydney Opera House. I'll put all of it in there for you. You can also listen back via the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. I want to give a huge shout out to producer Mary for doing all of the research for this episode. And stick around, lunch is right around the corner. FBI. Yeah, you got your dead cat and you got your dead dog. On a moonlight night, you got your dead toad friend.